Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834. And the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year, Kansas City. Pastor McIntosh, the congregation of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, and I send our love to you and your family. We desire that you all will have a blessed new year in Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for 2021. So family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for this blessed day and for all those days that are yet to come in 2021. We thank you for your peace and continued watch over all of our households. We thank you for our divine health and prosperity. We accept and confess that we are blessed and that we will be a blessing to others as you said in your word. We glorify your holy name and thank you for your dear son Jesus and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Father, in obedience to your word, we pray continually for every believer in the body of Christ, its leaders, and their families. We pray that we will have the spirit of wisdom of your word, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in our lives. We thank you continually that the exceeding greatness of your power that raised Jesus from the dead is continually at work in this ministry and those listening to this broadcast. And we thank you for providing us all of our spiritual, physical, and financial needs in abundance. We pray continually that we will be strengthened with all might by your Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to comprehend with all saints the love of Christ, which passes natural knowledge, being filled with all of Jesus' fullness to the praise and glory and honor of your name, that your name may be exalted and honored continually throughout the earth by the church, that the world may see Jesus through our lives. We pray continually that we will be on one accord, one mind, one spirit, speaking the same thing, serving you, that we may come into the unity of the faith, into the fullness and stature of Christ. We thank you that we have the wisdom to make right decisions throughout 2021. We thank you for protecting us from any voice or spirit that is not from you, but surround us continually with those who are from you, so that we can complete our divine assignments in excellence. We thank you for continuing to reveal, expose, and remove anything or anyone that is not right in our ministries and in our personal lives, that we may be blameless in your presence. We thank you for giving us understanding hearts, that we may discern between the good and bad, for how can we judge so great a people? And we thank you for it all. We thank you that because we have made you, Father God, the Most High, our habitation, no evil shall befall us, including COVID-19, because you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Your angels are encamped around and about us to deliver us from any destruction. We are blessed as a family because we fear you and delight greatly in your commandments. Therefore, our seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and they shall be blessed. We declare in faith that they shall serve you all the days of their lives, from this generation until Jesus comes. We will represent you by precept and example, in word and deed, and we thank you for your continued protection and provisions. Now, Father, we commit this new year, 2021, to you, that all that we do, think, and say may be done to the praise and glory and honor of your name, and we thank you for it in the name that is above all names, in the name of the one who is and was and is to come, our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ, and the people of God say, Amen. Family, Happy New Year. Now, last Wednesday, I deviated from my teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, to share with you about Christmas. For those who were with me know that I was not able to complete my Christmas message. So I would like to resume where I left off today and finish this short study on the birth of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Last week, I asked an important question that every Christian should be able to answer, and that is, what is the reason we celebrate Christmas? I ask this question because Satan has been trying to invalidate Jesus' birth, work, and our redemption in him. Satan has been trying to do this by removing the word Christmas and its meaning from all that pertains to this season. And why is Satan trying to do this? To keep people from believing and ultimately receiving the gift of salvation, which is the very reason Jesus was born in the flesh. Last week, we read several Old Testament prophecies that identified the Messiah so that the people would recognize him when he came into the world. And it was Jesus' duty to complete all of the Old Testament prophecies before he left this earth realm to make sure that no one could legitimately refute him as the Messiah. Then we read from the New Testament two passages that record the birth of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, we read how the Magi followed the Lord's star to Egypt to worship Jesus as a child in the house, not the manger. We also read from the book of Luke, which records the announcement of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Although I will not be rereading the whole passage in the book of Luke, I do want to highlight some key points that are recorded in this passage before moving forward with the new information I want to share with you today. Note that for this brief study on Christmas, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Again, we're going to refer back to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Now, in verse 3, they're talking about the register and census of the people. And as it says in verse number 3, each had to go to his own city. This was a decree by the Roman Empire. So Joseph, Mary, and Mary being pregnant, the unborn child, had to go to the place where they would have to register and be part of the census. So in verse 4 it says, so Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. Now, we have already read from Old Testament prophecy that the baby Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But also what is important is that Joseph and Mary were both from the lineage of David. And we know when we read Old Testament prophecies that David, King David, was given the promise that the Savior, King of Kings, would be born out of his genealogy. So there's two things that are going on that are prophetic and that are being accomplished. Verse number 5, Mary, who was betrothed or engaged to him, Joseph, was with child. So we know from other scriptures that baby Jesus was birthed from a virgin mother through the gifting of the Holy Spirit, not from Joseph. All right, drop down to verse number 7. She, Mary, gave birth to her son, her firstborn. I want to add this point right now because many religions still refer to Mary as the Virgin Mary. But Mary was a virgin when she had baby Jesus. But ultimately, she did marry Joseph, and Joseph and Mary had children of their own, biological children. So she is no longer a virgin. That does not take anything away from her, because at the time baby Jesus was birthed, she was obedient to the Holy Spirit and birthed the Savior. But today, she is a mother, biological mother, like any other natural births. And Jesus had brothers and sisters that were birthed from Mary and Joseph. Let's drop down to verse number 10. I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12 in their entirety. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" This is the announcement to the shepherds. Verse number 11, "For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah." Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you, by which you will recognize him. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Again, always the Lord gives us precise information so that we can identify whatever the subject is about. In this case, they're identifying baby Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, we know from other teachings that the word Messiah or title means promise deliverer. And this was what the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, was looking for. Verse 15 and verse 16. I'm going to read those two scriptures in their entirety. It says, "Then the angels had gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds began saying one to another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he laid in the manger." So first and foremost, the shepherds who were in the region watching their flocks, they received this announcement from a heavenly host. And they took heed of what was told to them. They believed it, and they went out to verify the announcement that was made to them. As they hurried to the place where the angels had told them the baby would be born, they did find Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in the manger. That is the birth of our Savior and Lord. Now, I have heard arguments about the exact date that Jesus was born. Modern day Christians have been celebrating Jesus' birth on the 25th of December. However, more than likely, Jesus was not born during the month of December, but rather in the summer or early fall, when the region of Judea would not have been cold and rainy. But does the actual month or day really matter? How many of you have a conscious knowledge of the day you were born? No. You base your birth date on what someone else has told you, or you have a document written by some man that lists the date. What is significant is that you were born and alive now. Well, the same with Jesus. He was born, whether in December or not, is of no consequence. Jesus was born. He lived to fulfill all the prophecies, died, and more importantly, resurrected to sit at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf as Savior and Lord. As you celebrate Jesus, please remember these true reasons for his birth. Jesus came to save mankind. Please turn to John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Jesus came to save mankind. Verse 16 says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Again, that the world might be saved through him. Now, the reason it says might be saved through him is because not that salvation is not a fact, but rather that people have to make a decision for themselves. They can choose to believe and accept the gift of salvation, or they can choose not to believe and not accept the gift of salvation, which means that at the time of physical death, they will enter eternal hell, eternal life in hell. Number two, Jesus came to reconcile us to our living God. Jesus came to reconcile us to our living God. Please turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says, "But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him?" Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain, having been reconciled, that we will be saved from the consequences of sin by his life. That is, we will be saved because Christ lives today." Last verse, verse number 11. "Not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation with God." I want to repeat that part. This is very important for every believer. And I trust that those who have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, that this will give them a point that they can stand on to receive the gift of salvation. It says, last part of that, verse 11 says, "We have now received," those of us who have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, "have received and enjoy our reconciliation with God." And for those who are not clear as to what reconciliation means, it means to be brought back into fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Point number three, Jesus came to make us righteous. Jesus came to make us righteous. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Verse 21 says, "He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God." That is, we would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness. I want to emphasize the phrase, place in a right relationship with our living God. These are the key points that Jesus came. He loved us and volunteered his life so that we could be spared the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. So when we celebrate Jesus and Christmas especially, we want to keep in mind these truths. Jesus came to save us. He came to reconcile us. And he came to make us righteous before our Heavenly Father. These are the few reasons that why Christians celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord. I hope this information has helped you understand and in the future articulate the importance of Jesus' birth to all mankind. Happy New Year, Kansas City. Now, we do have a little bit of time, so I do want to go back to our study on divine healing, our covenant right. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Before we read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to emphasize that I am purposely reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind, but your spirit. Whereupon, in the future, when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenge and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. Before we complete this teaching, we will be discussing the importance of making daily faith confessions over yourselves and loved ones. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, but in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Amen. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, when evening came, they brought to him Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Oh, family, I'm so sorry I'm out of time, but I do want you to return next week because we will be continuing our study on divine healing, our covenant right.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.